rest of it, I'm like, oh man, this shit is just too funny. So, I gotta put this in here too.
Golden, yeah.
It turned so fast.
It did.
Alright, I'm done.
Oh, shit, go ahead, man.
Alright,
get God on the phone.
Okay. I wasn't anticipating that. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Mike. That a hip hop EP review, Untitled Unmastered by Kendrick Lamar. Before we get into the review, make sure you go to deadendhiphop.com and check out everything that the homie Big Stow is doing with the website. We have a whole online shop that we have the classic 5-year anniversary tee. You can't see it, but Modest Media got it on right now. It's there for a limited time. And also check out the brand new UK edition Dead End Hip Hop 100,000 subscriber t-shirt special edition. Thank you, Europe. Thank you, the UK. And without you, we would have made it to 100,000. If you want exclusive behind the scenes, you want reviews early, we know y'all is damn leaking our shit. Stop doing that. But if you want it early, you want exclusive stuff, you want live Dead End Hip Hop, make sure you go check out patreon.com, man. We are on the homepage, Dead End Hip Hop. So go check it out. Back to the EP review. And if you want to support Kendrick, make sure you click the link in the description below and listen to Untitled Unmastered. Kendrick Lamar, Untitled Unmastered. So if you guys watch the channel, you know that we kind of talked about all of Kendrick's performances and whether he should make a project out of it, shouldn't he? I didn't feel like he needed to. I feel like, you know, we got the performances, we could have got them online, but I'm not necessarily going against the fact he actually made it a little bit more convenient. So I'm not against, and I know that was your point. I remember that was your exact point, Ken. So I know that's why you grunting over there like you Rick Ross or something. But no, but I feel you though. It is a lot more convenient. It's on Apple Music, Spotify, everywhere. But I love the fact that on this project you kind of got a lot of kind of behind the scenes stuff of him being creative and creating some of these special moments that he has performed. These dates, I'm not sure if this is when he recorded these untitles or performed them, but either way, you see that they're not necessarily in order by date, like he actually put it in some type of way. So this, I guess, has some type of meaning, some type of order. But I didn't try to pull too much into it because I just felt like this was not necessarily throwaways, but just him being creative, stuff that obviously is untitled. So I didn't want to dive too far deep into it. I just wanted to enjoy it as a project of something that, I don't want to say Kendrick's throwaways, but everything that all these artists record or ideas don't always get put onto something that is released. So with this, I just wanted to kind of step back and enjoy it. And I definitely did that. On Untitled 02, the second track, that's probably my favorite one.
It's perfect for you because you're not good with track names.
Yeah, I'm not good with track names. Exactly. I like number 5.
So he made it easy for you.
He made it mad easy. You know what I'm saying? And really, when you play it, it's like one almost complete project. And I think the thing that I realized with this is that Kendrick, just the more music you listen from Kendrick, the more unique he is sharpening his sword. From how he uses his words, how he ends them and holds them and then stops, his flow, just everything. And you could tell he's so attention to detail, but at the same time, he's having a good time. You know what I'm saying? Like when you heard him in the studio, head is the answer. You could tell he's having a good time with it. Obviously, I think that he had something that he was going for. Then by the end, he was just playing around, and I think that
like a jam session.
So I think that was the essence of this project. And overall, I enjoyed it. Like, I'm not gonna get into all of the, like, come on, man, it's Kendrick. You know, this motherfucker spitting some crazy shit all over this. But just like we've said earlier, like, Kendrick has pretty much been flawless in his career so far. This is not a misstep. This is not a bump. This was not an accident. This just kind of adds to the mystique of Kendrick. Like, bro, like, my throwaways almost are better than half of y'all albums.
We want to know what else is sitting on those hard drives.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. What else is he actually working on? bits and pieces of things, ideas. So yeah, man, I think that this was pretty cool. I think this was a real cool, like, little intro to, like, the mind of Kendrick, things that he's kind of working on and what you know, what he's doing, man. It's really dope. Definitely bumps in the whip.
Yes, to be honest, even though as much as I, you know, wanted this project and wanted him to release this officially, I didn't even think he was going to review it, because I know, you know, coming listening to it, you can tell it's during the To Pimp a Butterfly sessions. You know, you can just the vibe of it. Terrence Martin was all over the saxophones on track. What's that? Track 2, track 5. Thundercat was on the bass line on track 5. So I mean, just listen to the, like, how this was. Like you said, the ideas, but this was during the To Pimp a Butterfly sessions. But overall, I still enjoyed the hell out of this. I'm glad that he did release this project. You know, or I guess a project. I can't really consider this like an album. It's just B-side songs. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't think he was going to review it. I didn't think he was going to review it. I was like, well, I can just listen to this and just listen. You know, but yes, I thought it's one thing I'm glad that he kept this, like, really raw. Like, raw and just really raw. And you can sense that throughout this project. I do agree with, I remember when I brought it up, I do agree with you and Rye. Y'all said that, even though I do enjoy the tracks a lot on here, but I like, on the Untitled 3, produced by Astronaut, shout out to Astronaut, it was a section in there, he had, like, Terrence Martin playing the saxophone. You didn't, and you know, watching it, it was like, yeah, when I was listening to it, I'm like, damn, where's Terrence Martin solo? But I didn't get that. But when I watched it live on Steve Colbert's show, I was like, wow, that extra little sprinkle he put on there, I didn't get that. I didn't get that. And then he separated the Jimmy Fallon track. He did. It was, if you listen to track Untitled 2, the last verse was actually the whole song on Title 8. So I'm wondering why he kind of separated those. Yeah. If you listen to it again, he separated them. So I'm like, why would he do that? Because you get that emotion. You know, he didn't bring that emotion out on Untitled 2 that he did when he performed it. So as I'm listening to it, I'm like, damn.
Probably because he recorded those in two different times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you and Mike's point when we brought it up that, like, it's not the same when you're watching it and getting that emotion. That would be my only gripe, I guess. I just didn't get that same, like, oh, man, feeling. But overall, like, Untitled 5 is easily my favorite out of all of them. I love Untitled 5. I thought Robert Glasper was on the production, but yeah, it was pretty much Terrence Martin and Thundercat. Yeah, Thundercat. But man, I love that. I love Untitled 1 because he kind of starts off with this very raw, like, apocalyptic type of flow where almost talking like if the world was about to end and stuff, preachers touching sons and killers and alleys and drugs and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah, that was dope. The only track I didn't like was the first, I'm not gonna say track, but the first part of track 7. The first part where he was like, levitate, something.
Whoa, a lot of people like it.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like the beginning. Yeah, I wasn't really liking that. Something, nothing, cash, you bitch.
Oh, man, that shit was dope.
Wow. The beat was very catchy.
No, the flow and everything was dope. Man.
But the second part, when it switched to Sis B Son Egypt, that shit was fire. And a lot of speculation saying that he was going at Jay Electronica.
He's not.
Yeah, but Terrence Martin was like, that was recorded, you know, 2-3 years ago or whatever. And it's like, okay, cut it out.
Let him say he is.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll spark
Jay Electronica. Yeah. I can't come at you if you don't got no career. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully Jay Electronica will be like, you know what? Fuck that. I was popping shit on Periscope. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to get in the studio and put something out.
We had a bad day in there when we fucking beefing over Periscope.
On Periscope. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Damn. You guys had to be on Periscope, but you can't write an album.
But you can't write an album? Right. Yeah. So, people speculated out that verse, but I like that part. I definitely like the second part of track 7. I didn't really care too much about the first part. Just the beat was really catchy.
How you feel about that, like, that being Swizz Beat? Swizz Beat.
I thought that was dope. It's five years old, dude. 5 years old. Produce a track for Kendrick Lamar. Overall, I do really like this project. I'm glad he released this as my wishes, or part of my wishes, of everyone else's wish for it. You know, hey, look, I'm gonna take it. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna claim that shit, Mike.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna claim it, nigga. Get off your phone. I'm glad he put it together. But like I said, I do agree with Mike and Rod. I didn't get that same, like, oh man, feel from the live performance. Even when because Untitled 5 was actually from the Grammy performance, I didn't get that same, even though that's my favorite one, but I still didn't get that, you know, that emotion that he brought out on the live performances. But overall, I thought it was a good B-side album.
Nothing about J-Rod.
Oh, snap. I'll let you talk. No, go ahead, man. I'll run up. Go ahead. Yeah, man, J-Rock, man. And CeeLo. That CeeLo
was a good feature.
Yes.
Huh?
That was a good feature.
I
said that was a good feature.
Oh, yeah. I said that was, man.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, CeeLo. I thought CeeLo definitely brought some flavor.
The only time I thought about that, I was like, man, fuck, why was this just sitting there? I was like, oh. Probably because CeeLo was running his damn mouth, and he couldn't drop it because of that, so he had to hold on to it.
Right.
And now, you know, the time has passed, he can put it out, because that shit is good.
That's why CeeLo forgot about it. Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad, man, they brought some funk with that, some soulful funk on that track. And then J-Rock, man, how he was sliding over that bass line, man, was just, man, J-Rock is that dude. I love his feature on this. And Punch. Shout out to Punch.
I didn't know Punch rap.
I know he rap, because shout out to Willie B on his mixtape Live in Manhattan. Punch did a track on there, and I remember I hit him up like, yo, who is that, man? That's Punch. I was like, oh wow. So ever since then, I always had my ears out to Punch, so hearing Punch on here was definitely refreshing, and I hope he's coming out with something soon. So because yeah, Punch and J-Rock killed it for me. But other than that, I really enjoyed this. Listen, I'm talking too much, so I go ahead.
And y'all already know, man, if y'all follow me on Snapchat at KBNs. You know, I've been talking about it.
I've been Snapchatting.
What? Snapchatting.
Snapchatting.
Let's go. Sorry, kid.
Nah, man, you know what? I'm, you know, when we did the video Sunday, man, like, I've been playing the hell out of this shit. I mean, I absolutely love it. And this is, even though it's untitled, unmastered, all that, it, like, in its raw, purest, unfinished form, it's still fucking dope as hell. You know, the more I listen to it, you know, you listen to, like, the things he's saying, the songs themselves and how they're structured and put together, the elements of jazz, you know, sprinkled throughout here. You know, it kind of hit me. It was a moment on Donny Hathaway's These Songs For You Live, where he was doing a rendition of Stevie Wonder's Superwoman. Mm. And first thing out of his mouth was from the Black Pool of Genius. And I was like, you know what? And that was contemporary for him. Mm. And for me, I'm like, this dude, Kendrick Lamar, is like, he's that. He's in that pool. That Black Pool of Genius, when it comes to his talent, when it comes to his awareness and his ability to take what's going on in society right now and putting into a form of art and in a way that we can consume it and enjoy it, much like Marvin Gaye did with What's Going On. Like, he took the world issues and put it out, and it resonated with people. You know, and Kendrick, when you listen to the songs on here and the things that he's talking about, you know, not only on this, but, you know, the Pimp a Butterfly, you know, it just, it takes me back to that. This guy, man, is like, I think we almost take him for granted, it seems like. Like, he's really great. And I think it's okay. I think I'm at the point now where I'm cool with, like, saying he's I think we all know and recognize that he's going down as one of the greatest of all time. But I think with the things that he's done, he hasn't missed yet. You know, I think I'm comfortable with saying he's
missed on his beat.
Yeah, he's right there, man. He's right there. And I think it's okay for us to acknowledge and start celebrating that while he's still here, and appreciating the stuff that he's done, and not to get caught up like in being a prisoner of the moment or anything like that, but just recognizing and appreciating that. You know, this thing, man, like, first of all, the one with CeeLo was fantastic. I can't wait to hear what Mike has to say about it. Number five was awesome. Like, when you hear that track, you hear that bass line, you're like, man, that gotta be Thundercat. And, you know, like, and the people he's working with, Thundercat, you got
Terrence Martin,
Robert Glasper, like, all these people he's working with. But then you have the one, and I can't remember exactly what track it is, but where he's talking about the different personas of races, you know, the Indians, the whites.
The Indians,
yeah. Title 3, Astronaut.
Man, it was so freaking powerful when you listen to, like, you know, the characterization that he used. Mm-hmm. And every time I hear it, when he gets to black, there's this anger that kind of starts. I'm like, God, like, damn, that's fucked up. But then when they get to the white, they call them the styrofoam. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's like,
I see jigaboos, I see styrofoam.
Yeah, it's like when he start talking about them, it's like, you know, he said they want to get a peace of mind.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, you can't help but sit there and think like, God damn, like he's spot on. And I don't know, man, this guy, man, is something else. And I'm glad that, you know, that he did release these tracks, because I think these songs, there are messages on here that we needed to hear. And who knows? I mean, we don't know. He probably would have put them on another project at some point in the future. But I like the fact that we got them. I like the fact that there's stuff on here, whether it's from the Pimp a Butterfly Sessions or whatever. I love it, man. And I think there are powerful moments on here. There are moments where he's just enjoying, you know, just having fun and creating a song. There's serious moments on here. There's moments, jam session, where he is being lighthearted. And to go back to what you were saying, like the way they're out of date, you know, he sequenced them together so they have a good consistent flow. And they kind of start to go from one to the other, and it flows really, really well from one to two, and then from four to five. You know, and the way that flows, man, Head is the Future, J-Rock on there, and the way he's using it. There are moments on here where, you know, it's just the instrument and kind of like jazz, where, you know, when they'll come in later and do their little solo part, you know, he waits until he come in and then he becomes a soloist, jazzy, smooth, but it still has kind of a hard edge. But when he's rapping, he's real forceful. You know, he's not really like blending in with what you think the track would sound like. Like, he's, I don't know, man. This was a pleasant surprise, and I really, really, really enjoy it. I've been playing the shit out of it. And like you, I'm just living for the moment. Like you, B, like, we didn't even have to review it. It still was just being in that moment. Like I said on the video, I don't often get caught up in that, but I don't know, it was just something about this and just having this to listen to and just coming out of nowhere, you know, just added to it. But it's a great piece of work, and it's just stuff that was sitting on his hard drive, which is crazy.
If it wasn't for me, we would not have this project. Fuck LeBron. Shit. Jeez. Obama saw B's tech and was like, Kendrick? I want you to drop this project. I'm on my way out. I need some bad nigga music. I'm always Yeah, I really enjoyed this project. But I'll tell you what's funny is I didn't make it past the first song on the first like four listens of this, because I almost wanted to do a whole review just on that first song. That song now is probably my favorite Kendrick Lamar song.
And people keep skipping over that one.
They're crazy. Yeah, people do. I think.
Yeah, people say all like from two and down. They'd be like,
wow. They'd
be like,
the first song.
I keep saying that.
That shit, the whole album. Like, that idea has been done. The whole "this is the end of the world" idea has been done before. But it was just the lines he was using and the angle that he came from was just so amazing to me, where he's putting in, you know, the whole "we're nervous and crying, you know, we're in disbelief that our beliefs are what caused all of this." Like, I feel like he's hinting at holy wars on here. And then I feel like that ending part is really what clinched that track together for me, where he's talking to God. Like, God says, "What have you done for me lately?" And he's like, "Well, shit, I did To Pimp a Butterfly for you. I did this for you. I did that for you. I did this for you. That. And then when he ends the track by saying, "You know, fuck it, I guess I'm just running in place trying to get to church." Like, God damn. I just feel like he was really saying, like, no matter what we do, it's not enough. Or we could always do more to be closer to God. Even though I don't really believe in all that, but I just feel like when someone puts their beliefs that strongly in a track and they're that passionate with it, it hits me, you know. But that track, fuck, man, that track is fucking amazing. And I seriously think it might be at least in my top five favorite Kendrick tracks. But yeah, I mean, track two, of course, was fantastic as well. I think every song on here, there were a couple songs that I felt like were like missteps, and I had to put them down because he didn't put any fucking album name or track names on these, so it was really hard for me to remember which one was number four, which one was number two, which one was number whatever. I'm better at remembering track names. Track four, I did not like on the first listen. another reason why we should not jump to review shit, you know, without giving it a proper sitting. That was the one with the this head, you know, head is the answer, head is the future. At first I was like, man, that's kind of lame. Like, what are you doing? Like, that seems so simplistic. But when you listen to the track more times, it's like, okay, now I get it. Like, head is the answer, because that's what dudes are mostly chasing after. But then head is the future, like using your literal head to get a better future. Like, and you're combining those two things. I'm like, damn, who else does shit like that? Like, he really was in that Tupac handbook, like really studying the whole, what's the word, oxymoron idea behind being a human being and being a man, especially. Okay, so Untitled number 7. I loved that track, the first two parts of that track, until it got to the third part. I didn't like that part. Because I felt like, yeah, I felt like it just dragged on for a little bit too long for me. Because part one was incredible. Part two was incredible. Who didn't like the Levitate? Was that you?
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't even know what to say. Because the whole idea of, you know, this won't get you high enough. You know, this won't get you high enough. This won't get you high enough. Levitate. Like,
I guess it was just the way he was delivering it.
This won't get you high enough. Come on,
levitate. Yeah, I was just like,
I mean, it's cool.
The beat was very catchy, though. But I was like,
fuck the beat. I don't listen to Kendrick Lamar for beats.
I know, but I wasn't really.
Bruh, what he was saying was just so dope. Like, all these things will not get you to this place. But
I ain't like
levitate. Anyways, I didn't really care. You already win. I'm not listening to you anymore. At the end of the track, I just thought it was just, it was like an extra 3 or 4 minutes, something like that, yeah, wasn't it? It was just too much.
I skip it.
Yeah, me too.
I'll tell you another track I skip. I'm gonna fuck what none of y'all say. That fucking CeeLo track, I did not like that track. One single solitary bit.
What you did to me?
I can't explain.
Why?
You cannot sing either.
Oh, I got
it. I'm just saying, the song was too poppy for me, and it reminded me of all of the parts. Not all, not that it was a lot, but it reminded me of the parts of To Pimp a Butterfly that I did not like. I didn't like the happy is not a great word, but it's the only word that's coming to mind right now. That song just sounded a little bit too happy for me, and it sounded a little bit too poppy, and it just didn't, it kind of broke up the feeling of the project for me. And I'm not, don't start tripping. I'm not saying it's a shit song. I'm not saying it's whack. I'm saying I didn't like it. So that shit from the second part of track 7, yeah. That and the CeeLo song. I was good
third
without.
Part of track 7.
What did I say?
You said second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The third part of track 7 and the CeeLo song. I'm good without either one of those. Everything else on here, I thought was fantastic. I thought it was cool to actually be able to sit down and just listen to a Kendrick project and just breathe without having to really try to figure everything out. Without having to be like, okay, what's the concept? Yep. What's the story?
Yep.
So it was cool trying, you know, finally getting to hear Kendrick just rap. You know, even though every song, of course, is going to have all of these double meanings and double entendres and secret underlying, but you don't have to worry about the connection between song 1 and song 8.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure there are, because this album's only been out for a week, but since everybody was bitching and, you know, hurry up, I'm sure in 2 weeks I'll probably come back and be like, oh shit, did you hear that line in Untitled 3? Well, that relates to the end of Untitled 8. He would do some shit like that. But yeah, I mean, I think if you walk into this trying to listen to this like it's an album, you may have problems with it, because it's not necessarily a cohesive project. It's not necessarily a project that will lead from track 1 into track 2 into track 3 into track 4. But what it is it's a collection of really fucking good songs. And I do think that he did sit down and arrange them in a certain way to make them flow the way they do. But at the same time, I don't think that they're going to flow in the way that Good Kid, M.A.A.D City did or To Pimp a Butterfly did. But take all that shit out your head and just sit down and listen to Kendrick rap. Because I'm with Ken. I do think that this guy is getting to that point where we can solidly say, like, he's one of the best to ever touch a microphone.
Kendrick Lamar, if you're watching, nothing I could do to, you know, get top dog on the phone. Get top dog on the phone. That's the only motherfucker you need, bro. Keep sharpening the sword. Like, just keep sharpening the sword. I think you're leading the pack, but just keep sharpening the sword. Keep pushing those creative boundaries. And I definitely think that you are that quintessential figurehead in hip-hop that equates balance. You can give us that bump stuff. You can give us that social, political stuff that we need, and you give it to us in a way that can go over our head, but also smacks us in the face at the same time. Not many people know how to do that. And you're extremely creative with every aspect, from sonically, musically, how you use instruments, how you use your voice as instruments. You dope, bro.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Kendrick, for releasing this.
For answering my...
For listening to me.
What are you about to say?
You,
see?
No, you're working in at something.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't. I just wanted to tell Kendrick, thank you so much. Thank you for being that guy in the mainstream with your platform and still... like speaking on the issues, being a forefront guy in hip hop right now. Like you are definitely been one of my favorite artists for a while now, and keep being creative. Like you're batting 100% right now with me, man. It's like you just keep it up, keep up the great work, all you guys, Top Dog, TD, all y'all, keep up the great work. Thank you so much again. I can't thank you enough for this project.
I'm glad you guys released this. If you're watching, you know, like I said, I think for me it helped really. It helped me come to a point where I'm like, yeah, you're definitely right now for me in that black pool of genius. And I would love to hear the counter against that for me, because, you know, when I think about the work that you've already put out and you're getting better and people are listening to you in spite of the songs that you're recording, like, you're not making, you know, these trap songs, like, you're making stuff that's causing people to listen to the issues that's going on, you know, that's, you know, a plight on, you know, black people, you know, the pride of James Brown and Donny Hathaway, you know, the social awareness of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, where you're talking about stuff that's current, you know, the ability to craft great and beautiful songs like Stevie Wonder, like, all of that stuff is, like, within you, and you are a byproduct and a child of that. And people are drawn to you and people are pulled to you. And that doesn't happen often, where you have a guy at his level making the music and talking about the things that he's talking about, performing the way he's performing in the times that we are in, and people can't get enough of it. And I think that's special. And I think you are right now. You're in that. I think you are going to go down as one of the greatest to ever pick up a mic. For real, and I'm comfortable saying that right now. You know, listening to the stuff you just had on your freaking hard drive. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Keep being so creative, man. Like, there's no voice right now that sounds like Kendrick. And I think for someone that's been out for so short a period of time, the fact that you already have people like this guy saying that you will be one of the greats of all time, the fact that you already got MCs cloning you, the fact that you've already got people that can say that motherfucker's biting Kendrick, the fact that you can have dudes like us sitting around having a conversation about some fucking B-sides, dog, like, that is really serious. So yeah, keep making creative music, keep making, you know, strong, important message music, and that's it, man. Just keep making good music, because dudes like us really, really appreciate it. We need voices like you. There's not enough voices like you. So I hope you're happy inspiring the next two or three generations of MCs. Because I don't remember who said it, but somebody said that Kendrick Lamar was the next coming of Nas. And I see that now. Like, he definitely is the next coming of Nas. So keep doing it, man.